Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
This church in Maine is truly essential. We're going to be talking about it on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Well, we have filed, Liberty Counsel has, a renewed preliminary injunction in the lower court on behalf of Calvary Chapel of Bangor and also at the U.S. Supreme Court. Because after we got the victory, and again, we're still moving forward on this case in California, but we overturned the total ban on worship in that state, then Maine has become the most restrictive in the country with a 50-person limit on places of worship. But if you do something else besides worship, then the 50-person limit doesn't apply. And this particular church, Holly, is an incredible church founded and pastored by Ken Graves, Calvary Chapel in Bangor, Maine.
So to think about this, okay, so Calvary Chapel of Bangor, the sanctuary itself, the physical features, 10,000 square feet, but they can only have 50 people in the building at one time.
Yeah, and listen to this, though.
50.
They can only have 50 people if they worship.
Right. Oh, yeah, if they do anything,
they do something
religious.
Else that's not worship, they don't have the 50-person limit. This particular church, and we can kind of give you a little bit of background, it has, as part of many of its ministries, Calvary Residential Discipleship Program. And there are two houses on the church property, one that houses 24 women, the other 24 men, total of 48. These are individuals who have come from situations where drugs, alcohol have ultimately put chains on their lives, and they're seeking freedom and release. And this is an amazing year-long residential program. People are set free through Jesus Christ.
It's a Christ-centered alternative to your secular recovery programs.
Right. So worship is essential to them.
Right.
And so the first 6 months, everything that they do is very much controlled. In the next 6 months, they go out and they work. They come back to the residence there on the church property. But whether in the first or second 6 months, worship is required. Bible study is required. They meet in the church a couple of times a week for sometimes all day on Wednesday for Bible studies and discussion and worship.
Because a relationship with Jesus Christ is the key to recovering from any kind of addiction.
So when the restrictions came in from the governor, Janet Mills, it was originally no worship, then 10 people. Now it's up to 50 people, but it's the most restrictive in the entire nation. So then and now, there was always an exemption for social services and, quote, essentials of life, necessities of life. Now, that includes substance abuse programs, secular counseling, unemployment, feeding, sheltering, housing. All of those are exempted. Those are essential activities, but the church was not. So when this restriction first came in, it's the same thing that he has to deal with now. Pastor Ken Graves realized, well, the residential discipleship program can operate even though churches were completely closed at one time. Then 10 people, then 50 people. They can operate. They can continue the substance abuse recovery program, but they cannot worship. So in other words, cutting the heart of this ministry literally right out of what makes this ministry successful. So they could come into the church. The same people that live on campus can come inside the church. They can listen to different kinds of discussions on substance abuse, finding jobs, relationships, but they cannot open the Bible and study it, and they cannot worship. It would be illegal. So as soon as it changes to worship and Bible study, it becomes illegal. Pastor Ken says, I can't cut out the heart of this ministry.
It's blatant discrimination. Blatant.
I can't do it. So from the very beginning, he's been violating the court orders with regards to the residential discipleship program. When it was 10, when it is zero, when it was originally zero, and when it is now 50, because you have 48 people, you have several 7 to 8 staff and pastors. You're already at 50-some people even now. So every day that they operate and they worship in the sanctuary, it's illegal, but it's legal as soon as they stop worshiping.
Right.
So what he did originally is says, I can't cut the heart of this out. I'm going to have to just take, you know, bite the bullet, if you will, and I'm going to continue to have Bible studies and worship. Otherwise, the program's not successful. But for the people who are not in the program, you need to watch online. He, like many pastors, they didn't know because they got all this, frankly, misinformation about COVID. Not that it's not real, but that it was overblown. Mm-hmm. And as good stewards, they didn't want to hurt anybody, and they still don't, obviously. This pastor has been there with the birth of a little child, with that child's marriage, with that child's giving birth to another generation. This is the family over which he is the shepherd.
Right.
So he's not going to do anything to harm them or the community.
And he's personally, you know, invested in this discipleship program. I mean, he has a great heart for these people that are struggling, and he understands the key to their recovery, the key to their life is a relationship with Jesus Christ and building that relationship on a daily basis.
Yeah, and so what he said originally is, and he still does it now, I can't cut the heart of worship out of this a residential discipleship program, because that is, right. This is not just a secular technique.
You'd be like just
it's
any
a relationship
other program.
With Jesus
yeah.
Christ.
Yeah.
But for the other people that are not in it, this is what he did early on. You watch online. So here's what happened. The people on worship, they're watching online that are not part of the recovery program. But guess what? They see their brothers and sisters worshiping. They're in the church. And they miss worship, and they miss being with their brothers and sisters. So they call Pastor Ken, and they say, Pastor Ken, I really miss worship. I'd like to come back. Will the doors of the church be locked?
Oh, that just breaks my heart.
And it breaks his heart, and it broke his heart. He said, no, they won't be locked. Mm. And he also then said in a statement that we recently filed that it would be a sin for him to prevent anybody from coming to church.
You know, government is in place to protect our rights and protect religious freedom, not to take them away or mandate how and when and where we worship.
Yeah, so
bottom
what
line.
Happened is these people that watched online on their own, one by one, they started coming back to church. So that naturally puts them well over 50 mm-hmm. Because they already have 48 plus the pastoral staff, which puts them at 53 plus nearly 55. And so they've been operating illegally since day one, and we're almost now pushing a year. And the consequences are criminal and fines. But, you know, the other thing about this discipleship program is it's not only important for them to gather together, to read the Bible and study and worship together, but it is also critically important for their recovery to be able to be with other people who are not in the program. And so it benefits both people. The people in the program benefit by worshiping with people who are not in the program. They can get different perspectives. They can get different support. And guess what? The people who are not those individuals who got addicted to drugs or alcohol, when they come there and they see these young women and young men and their families that have grown up or that are with them, maybe even young babies that they have with them, and there's a number of them like that, I mean, they become family. This is your family, Holly.
We were created for fellowship, Matt. That's the key. We were created for fellowship.
And the governor says they can't worship together. They can't worship together. Look, the governor has no authority to micromanage the church. Jesus said, render to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. If you don't like your taxes, you know, a lot of us don't like where the money goes. I get all that. But pay your taxes. That's what Jesus says. Pay your taxes. Whose image is on this coin? Well, it's Caesar's. Well, give him what belongs to Caesar.
But the government does not prevent us from worshiping.
Yeah, that's when Jesus says, but render to God, give right. to God that which belongs to God. Well, the church belongs to God. Jesus said, the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. We see the bridegroom marries the bride. We see that in Revelation. We see that in the New Testament. The church, he has incarnated himself into humanity. and the church are the believers of Jesus Christ, not just coming together to listen to a podcast, for goodness sake. You can podcast anything you want to, but worship is coming together, being with your family, encouraging somebody with a hand on their shoulder, with a word, with a hug. Just the fact that you're there, not even a word, that you're there and laying on of hands and singing, that's worship and transforming not only the lives of the people who come, but the entire community. That's what this church does. It's more than essential. It's always been essential. Go to lc.org for more information. Pray for Liberty Council and our defense of these amazing pastors and churches all across America.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Council. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Council's website at lc.org.